All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, I'm joined by a Fit Vegan superstar, Allison. Allison, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to finally get to share all my thoughts and insights and all things Fit Vegan.
Beautiful. Have you ever listened to any Fit Vegan Success Stories episodes before?
Yeah, Max and I listen to like everyone.
Everyone of them? Okay, cool. So how does it feel to be on this side now? You're now a success story.
I've been looking forward to it since before I decided I was going to do Fit Vegan. So I was like, I'm going to get to do that one time. So happy my time is.
Yeah, it's so cool because it's a thing now that members look forward to before like they actually jump on the program. It's like you guys messaged me privately like, hey, I'm going to be on one of your podcast episodes. And I'm like, oh, it's a thing that people want to be on the episode. So I'm happy to have you on. So, you know, for the people listening, you were able to shift your body composition by 13 pounds, which looks like there's a huge difference in your photos from your before and after. Yeah. One of the big differences that we notice in your photo, besides like your legs, your butt and your stomach, is your smile is a lot bigger on that last set of photo. Yeah. You're like very happy, very joyful compared to the first set of photo. You're happy before, but there's a significant difference in your smile. So today I want to talk about, you know, what your journey's been like, if there's ups and downs, how you handled it. And so just so that people can have context as to like what your life is like now and what it was like before you started the program, because again, most people think that a lot of our members for some reason have nothing else to do besides exercise and right. healthy food. You have a life, you have patients, you have a lot of things going on. And so kind of mind just painting that picture for people as to why it was potentially inconvenient for you to start originally.
So I graduated life. I started back in July, I believe. Life then, I had just gotten done graduating from my nurse practitioner school. So I was in the midst of trying to find a job. And then also I'm a military spouse. So my husband is in the Air Force. We were going to be moving in the end of September. So I was in the process of kind of packing up the house.
Finding a job, packing a house. That sounds
finding
fun.
A job, packing a house to move all the way across the country. And we were in New Mexico, and then we are now in Destin, Florida, which it's beautiful, by the way. You should definitely come visit if you ever get a chance.
Yes.
But yeah, life was not well organized, and I, like many, pretty much everybody else that you have in this program, are very type A. I like control. I like my organization, all of that good stuff. And so life was a little bit more chaotic than I was used to, because lots of big transition is a big transitional period, which it's interesting to me that I chose to do this program during a very big transitional period in my life. So
it's the best time, to be honest with you.
It really was. And I'll get into all my other thoughts later, of course. But yeah, so we went from that and then moved to Florida. Now I have two different jobs. So I have two different part-time jobs that I do, where I go see patients in their homes and do kind of like preventative health visits. And then I also just started at a pain medicine clinic. And so I do one job 2 days a week. I do another job 2 days a week. And then I do all the other regular day-to-day things, I guess you could say. Yeah. Busy. I stay busy.
Yeah. And so what brought you to the place that you kind of wanted to do the program, even though you were in this big transitional period?
So just a quick backstory. So the reason I even went vegan was my husband, Nate. So he had gotten diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma back in 2019. That was kind of like our oh shit moment. Like we need to figure it out. I was fortunate enough. My mom has always been a health nut, and she had started kind of in the whole food plant-based sphere. And so she was like, read this book. And it was How Not to Die by Dr. Greger. And that was life-changing. And we've just tried to catapult from there. Through that journey, I had through Nate's cancer journey, which he's doing great, by the way. He'll hit 5 years remission in December of this year. So
beautiful.
Yes. But through that journey, I've always been kind of known like as the fit friend or as like the healthy friend. Like coworkers would come to me. They'd be like, Allison, this is going on. What do you think I should do? Because they just know that I read all these books. It's like a hobby of mine, I guess. But really, it's just like life. It's a passion. It's what I want to do. I want to be a lifestyle medicine provider. Yeah. And so they, you know, I've been that person, but I didn't feel like I didn't feel like I looked as good as I should for how I was eating and what I was preaching. So it's kind of like that street cred thing that you talk about where it's like,
yeah,
I need to look like I'm fit and healthy. And I'm like, you know, vegan, quote unquote, you know, how one should look. And I didn't look bad. Like I definitely didn't look bad.
But you looked great before. Yeah.
It's interesting. I always think I was like, man, these photos suck. I was like, these photos, I look better in person than I do in these photos. But now it's kind of a different twist because I'm like, okay, well, if I look that good in photos, then how good do I look in person, right? Mm-hmm. Just a little touch and narcissism coming through.
That's all right. We all have it. Everyone likes their photos at the end.
Yes. But I just, you know, I wasn't as good as I felt like I should look. And even my husband, Nate, he's like, I see how good you're eating. Like, he's like, babe, I don't know anybody who eats as well as you do. And he's like, and I can see that you're not 100% happy with where you're at. And he's like, so.
Oh, he worded that properly to not sleep on the couch.
Well, he did. He's wonderful. Nate is wonderful because he's part of the solution, but he has also been part of the problem in the past. So yeah. I like to call it, like, when he went through his cancer journey, I probably got my heaviest, which was like 164. And you know, it was also, I had moved a different cross country move initially over to New Mexico. So I like to call that phase of my life my Nate weight. Because it's like, or you could call it love weight. I think a lot of people can relate to that where you're in a new relationship. It's, you know, it's good. It's true unconditional love, and then it just kind of enable each other, and then it just starts kind of creeping, and it creeps, and then like you throw in like a life altering situation, and then like the stress, and then I mean I know you can relate to the stress of being a caregiver.
I put on weight too as a caregiver too, so yeah, I get it.
Yes, and so okay, so back to the Nate weight. I was my heaviest that I was at like the 164. Once Nate was well enough, he would go on his deployments. So it was really nice because when Nate was at home, I was able to control my situation to like near perfection. Yeah. Right. And so I could drop that 15, 20 pounds. And then Nate would come home from deployment and slowly but surely creep back up. Not back to what it was, but it would creep back up about like 10 pounds. And then he would deploy again, and then I'd have total control.
Yeah.
And I'd get back down here where I wanted to be. And then he'd come home, and then creep, 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 creep. So anyways, I was just, like, tired of that. And I had been watching some influencers, like, some fitness influencers about, like, body composition programs. So I wasn't, like, unfamiliar with kind of how that was going to work, like, the structure of it. I just hadn't seen anybody that was whole food plant-based, and that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I had come across Adam Sudd because I follow him.
Yeah.
And you had been on there. And so I clicked and then I followed you. And then you're very prompt and you messaged me and you were like, hey, I saw that you follow me. And then, here I am 7 months later, 8 months, something like that.
And here we are. So how was it for you to get this started in a big transitional period? Because a lot of people, you know, would potentially wait until they're more settled. And so for you, how was it to kind of start the program and ultimately not necessarily change up your nutrition because you were somewhat whole food plant based already. But how was it to kind of include the exercise and maybe the different structure of nutrition?
So it was good because what it made me do, and it didn't stretch these muscles for me, these mental muscles for me initially at first. Because at first I was very like, I was still over in Clovis. I had my kitchen, I had everything set up, and I had like a good controlled environment. There's not really many great places to go out to eat there. So like we didn't go out to eat. And then Nate was gone for a month on a TDY. And so then I had even more control initially. So for that portion of time, it was good. And it was kind of similar to previous, but having the structure of the workouts in there really made a difference. And then honestly, having the protein was a difference. And I never thought I would say that out loud, but it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference.
What was your relationship to higher protein consumption on a whole food plant-based lifestyle before versus now? And like, what are the differences that you saw?
So before I was doing Fit Vegan, I was doing very much like starch solution, Dr. McDougall, kind of very low fat, you know, high carb, just like moderate. It really wasn't even tracking protein. So I couldn't really even tell you. Yeah. I think now I was probably hitting less than 50 grams a day if I had to guess.
Yeah.
How many beans I was eating. And I think those programs are fine. I think it's all about what is your goal?
Yeah. They're right? Again, some people think that I'm against all of these doctors. I mm-hmm. love all of them. I am for them. Their goal is health,
right?
Not body composition, and health, right?
Disease reversal. Yeah. And I think that those are great. And like, there is certainly a place for that. Like I think my dad, he had quadruple bypass surgery, and I think he probably benefits significantly from doing a low fat, style of eating in the whole food plant-based. For me, I'm young, I'm 29. I didn't need that. That's not my goal. My goal was to look great.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately do it on a whole food plant-based diet so you stay healthy.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the difference you notice with kind of a, just ultimately just increasing the amount of protein you were consuming?
So initially the cravings. So like anytime I'd start, like Nate would go on a deployment and I have to restart, like that first 2-3 weeks of it, like you're really like exhausted from fighting all of the cravings that you're having for all of the things that are not going to help hit those goals. And so what I noticed was I wasn't craving all the shitty food that I normally was when I would start, you know, redoing the stricter diet. And so that was like a light bulb.
Yeah. So help with satiety and craving ultimately.
Yes. And then something else happened too. And I can't contribute it totally to the protein intake. But I think I'm going to for me, because to me it makes sense because nothing else really changed. Cause I was still eating like predominantly whole food plant-based, like try to hit that like Simon Hill, 85%, 90%, whole food plant-based most of the time.
Yeah.
But I was a chronic napper. I, for my entire life, have napped 1 to 2 hours on any day that I could be home in the afternoon. That's going back to like elementary school. I have been that way.
Okay.
And I don't do that anymore. And I didn't like, it stopped within like the first month of me doing the Fit Vegan program.
That's awesome. So obviously you have more energy, but you gain an hour or two back out of every day.
Yes. And for somebody who has a long to-do list every day, like that's incredible. But that was I was not expecting. And that has been like one of the biggest benefits was that I can lay down in the afternoon. I almost think it's like a habitual thing in my brain. But I can't, I might fall asleep for like 5 minutes and I wake back up.
Yeah. So first of all, I thought you were going to make a joke, say like, I don't know what it was. It was a protein, but I built these incredible biceps throwing the first. I thought that's what you were going to say. Yeah. He's got great biceps, but, that's crazy. So would you say that when Nate would go on deployment and you would kind of start a process to lose the weight, would you say that you're pretty aggressive with your calorie deficit? Because our calorie deficit is not aggressive at all. Right? Like you're still consuming like a ton of food. Would you say that potentially would be the difference also?
I think so. Cause I was doing like the big, huge bowls, like, so primarily veggies and then like usually some rice, probably like a cup of rice. And like, I you know, I would do that for lunch, and it was delicious, and I enjoyed it, and I got lots of fiber out of it. But yeah, I think ultimately I was in probably a more severe calorie deficit that entire time. And so when Nate came home, it didn't take much for me
for you to fall back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is understandable, right? If you cut your food by a lot for an extended period of time, at one point your body's going to have that like stronger craving to just want some form of energy. And if junk food is available, then that's what it's going to go for.
Right. But to be honest, I wasn't tracking it, right? So I was kind of burnt out. I didn't really want to track my calories. I track all that stuff because I'd been there, done that. And was like, I don't have to do that. They tell me I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I needed
to. Does it feel now to kind of have a meal plan and have a bit more guidelines?
It's good. For somebody who loves rules, like, it's good. And it's not such a stringent process. Like, it really is flexible. And I think one of the other really great things that this program has done is allowed me, A, the luxury of time, and then B, the luxury of imperfection.
Yeah.
Those really play quite a role together.
Yeah. Well, luxury of time. I didn't know we were going to give you 2 hours back of every day. That's a significant amount of time, more than most people gain back. So I'm happy that you got that, because that's a huge amount of time.
Yes. Well, luxury of time in that sense, but also luxury of time is like, I'm not doing some crash program where I'm like, I have to lose 15 pounds in like 6 weeks, or like, this was not worth it. And then like with that kind of mentality comes the perfectionism. And then like when you ultimately fail, because it's not in any way sustainable, like you just completely go off the bandwagon, and then there's binging and indulging, and then just like,
So
with the luxury of time, like I don't have that. Like I don't have that. Like you have to be perfect or you're going to just screw this all up.
And would you find that as a big like reliever of stress to not have that?
It is freed up so much like headspace around my relationship with food. Like so much. Yeah. Because I know that if there's going to be like a weekend or an event or something like that, where I'm not going to have control or even a little bit of control, like, and I'm just going to have to go with the flow and be flexible. Like I can do that and it's going to be okay because I have time to like, just get back on track. There's not that, because this is the rest of life, right? Like that's what this program's ultimately doing, is you don't want it. You're not setting up a program for people to fail eventually and then have to come back. You're doing it for them to be able to progress on.
Yeah. I'm doing it to see none of you guys once you're done. All right. I love all of you guys, but the point is to not see you after you're done. And I love that you shared that, because I told you I recorded a few podcasts today. One of them was with Brendan this morning, and he said the exact same thing. He had, you know, binge eating, and he was like, man, my relationship with food is like way better than it used to be. And it's like that relief of stress that it doesn't have to be perfect the whole way through, that it's not like a crash diet where you have to train 2-3 hours a day and eat, you know, 800 calories a day to be able to lose the weight that you want to ultimately.
Yeah. I would point out on the topic of luxury of time, and sorry, Maxine, you didn't know you were going to get all these thoughts today.
It's perfect.
So I would like to point out, I went to four weddings.
You had a period. We had a bunch of them.
I had four weddings. I had a month over in Eastern Europe for one of those weddings. And I still made the progress that I have made. Was it as fast as I probably could have done? No, but it came with the change in my relationship with food, and honestly, way better vacations, because I don't have the guilt of like, oh, I really shouldn't eat this. Oh, and just like that mental tug of war that just, man, it wears you out. It wears you out so much. And then B, I felt a zillion times better, because when I did eat things that were more indulgent, I wasn't just like pigging out. Like I wasn't just shoveling as much as I could, because I wasn't ever going to eat it again. or I wasn't going to do it again for a really long time. Like, I had tastes of it until I was like, okay, I'm good. I actually don't want any more. And that happened more often than I was anticipating. And so therefore, I wasn't bloated the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I didn't come home feeling like a balloon. And that was wonderful. I was able to enjoy my vacations because I didn't feel like shit.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, if you talk to the majority of people going to 4 weddings and 1 month abroad, most people would put on like 10, 20 pounds during that period of time and not enjoy themselves and beat themselves up internally about the bad choices that they're making the whole time that they're there. And so I'm really happy that it freed that up for you and allowed you to enjoy yourself while still make some progression.
Right. Oh, and let's not forget adding in the cross-country move where I didn't have a kitchen for like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. So let's cover that for fun. How did you handle that? Because most people, not the people in the program, because all amazing, and the people that aren't in the program, they're potentially struggling and they have access to a full kitchen. And, you know, life is normal to a certain extent. And you managed to continue to do it even while you were on the road. So how did you navigate that?
So to be honest with you, initially, like that's where my mental shift kind of happened to where I was like the perfection idea cracked. Because I was like getting so frustrated and I felt bad for Nate because I was kind of lashing out at him. And he was just like, what do you need? How can I support you? Like, what do you like? Where do we need to go? Like, what do we need to do? And so initially that was kind of, it was difficult. But once I figured it out, PB Fit is my best friend. I can't stand protein powders. I've tried so many and I want to like one of them, but I can't do it. PB Fit has been my savior in this process. So lots of apples and PB Fit, the dry roasted edamame, really great snack. Really, really good for the protein. Just honestly, you just have to have like some staples. So like getting veggie sushi from Publix or wherever. Or I would get like the little spring onion ramen packets and I'd get a block of tofu and I'd get like my Bragg's liquid aminos and I'd marinate my tofu, stick it, you know, in there and then just heat that up and eat it. And that was good. So you almost, it was certainly manageable. I don't look back and feel like, God, what an unmanageable time. What a miserable time. Like I did it, you know, go out to eat and things weren't perfect. But honestly, during that time too, there were days where I was like, I'm going to do the best that I can. I probably am not going to hit my protein goals today, but I can get pretty close to my calorie goals. And that's just going to be good enough for today. And this isn't going to last forever. I have the luxury of time. So I'm going to do the best that I can. And I'm going to keep doing my workouts. And we're just going to power through.
I think that's such a beautiful thing for you to say, that I'm just going to be okay with it and for it to be fine. Because, you know, and I say this with full respect because I am as well. I know how type A you are. I know how type A I am. I know how type A Brendan is, how people in the program are. And so for people like us to say that, right? Because there's probably people listening that are type A as well. They're like, I can never get to that place. You can, right? Like there's a journey, there's a process to get you to this place. And I love how you said it. It's like the stress, right? It just comes off of your shoulder. You're able to enjoy yourself a lot more versus stressing over the perfection of it. I love to ask you in like the three main areas, right? So there would be more like your health type of energy, your body and your mindset. What are some of the differences that you've noticed in yourself since you kind of started? We can just start with mindset and then we'll move to like more fitness, body, and then kind of health.
Okay. I think I actually had told you this one as far as the mindset goes. I think I told you this one back early on when I started. Something, it was like just a phrase that kept coming to me. And I think it's really just carried me through. And that phrase is, which I think I made up the second half of this phrase. It is that patience is a virtue and instant gratification is a nagging bitch.
You definitely made up the second half of that one, but yeah, I get the message.
And I've kind of kept that in the back of my mind, because what it does is it allows me that space to know that, like, the consistency of just doing the best that I can. And Sarah, Coach Sarah really just drove that in too. And
yeah, she's good at what she does.
She's great. I'm going to admit it. She wasn't what I was expecting. Like, talking to you in the intro call, I was like, okay, this is gonna, he's intense. So, like, this is great. Yeah. Like, we're gonna be intense. This other coach is probably gonna be intense too. And, like, she's just gonna tell me, like, get your shit together, Allison. And
yeah,
wasn't that at all. Like,
yeah,
but in the best way, right? Like, yeah, she was very much like, just take a second. Like, it's okay. Like, you weren't perfect today. It's okay. Like, do just win, like you guys say, win the next meal, win the next workout. And it was like more of a nurturing energy that I wasn't expecting, but I actually think is going to do me better for the long run.
Yeah. Can I share with you why I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm purposefully more intense at the beginning before people come into the program to make sure that people are actually ready to do the work, right? Like, to me, I don't, it's not, like, obviously this is a business and it needs to run, but it's not that I need money to come in. Like, I really want to help people transform. And I have no care for someone to just pay for the program and do nothing with it, right? Like, I sometimes remove people from the program for that reason. And so I'm more intense up front to make sure that people actually want to do the work. And if you can get through that, then you'll have the most loving, nurturing experience inside of the program. And so, yeah, it's funny that you pointed out and you noticed it, but yeah, it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like mindset wise, I'm curious, like, what shifted for you?
Once again, like, the, just being able to succeed outside the realm of perfection, and knowing that there is sexiness in the simplicity of just showing up, doing your like 30, 45 minute workout, getting your steps and eating your food. And like,
that's straightforward. It that
like, it doesn't have to be some complicated, like, physics formula. Like, it can really just be that simple and you get great results.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's why, like, coaching is simple. Like, obviously, proper structure for your training to make sure that there's progression. Same thing with your nutrition, make sure it has the right proportion. But the basics in terms of actions work. What we're here for the majority of the time is to help you deal with what's in between your two ears and to remove yourself from your own way so that you can continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just one last thing on the mindfulness or mindset. Like, I think I had shared with you guys in the group that the break room table.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that. I was going to bring it up. Yeah. So you can share that with people.
Yeah. So, like, at this pain medicine clinic that I work with, they're super nice people and super great. And honestly, this is probably in every break room in every office across America.
For sure.
Who knows? There's just always a table. Like, somebody's always bringing something. And, like, in the medical field, like, there's usually, like, drug reps who are bringing goodies to, like, just be like, hey, tell you about this drug. And a little bit, or a lot of it. I don't really know the legalities on all of that technically, but
yeah. No, but I said it, you didn't say anything. But okay. Yeah, they're bringing donuts.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's just like all these baked goods, or somebody's having a birthday and there's cake. And like, let me tell you, Allison, I am a cake kind of gal. And the wonderful thing, though, is that I have been able, like, there was a day and there was a cake and there was chips, and I'm a chip kind of gal too. I can be, I'm not anymore. Not, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say not anymore, but like, there's a better
control over it.
There's a better relationship. Yeah. With it. There's not a binge relationship with it, because I'm never going to get it again. But being able to walk, so I have to walk past this break room table from my office to the patient room probably 100 times a day, right?
Yeah.
And the old Allison, like, she would have grabbed, she would have said, ooh, gimme. But fit vegan Allison is able to walk past that table 100 times not really think about it, and then at the end of the day go, huh, look at that. I walked past that table 100 times today, and I didn't really even want, like, I didn't want to grab it because I just knew that I wasn't going to feel good. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't even that I was craving it, and I was just having that same old mental tug of war. It, literally, I was just like acknowledging that it was there and was like, oh, that's, somebody brought that. I don't really want any of that. That's not gonna, I'm not gonna feel good if I eat that. So,
yeah, it must have been an empowering day to see that shift in yourself, because that mental tug of war is real for a lot of people.
I think that's like one of the biggest, I mean, that was the biggest shift. There were several big changes for me, but that was certainly one of the biggest changes, because me and my mom have talked about this too. Like, or my dad, Nate, like, they're just like, how do you just think about food all the time? Like, don't you ever just start thinking about food all the time? And me and my mom are both just like, you think about food all the time? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I think about food all the time. And I was like, yeah. So it's very, like, so freeing. So freeing to just to not even really think about it. Acknowledge it. Recognize it's there. But it's not taking up all that headspace and energy all day long.
Yeah. You know, you made me think, I saw this video the other day of a guy that was more like into fitness that was in the break room. And there was a box of donuts. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do a service to everyone here. And he starts taking a bite, one bite out of each donut. He's like, now no one can eat them and everyone can stay healthy and fit.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. I'll never work at a corporate job where that would happen. But if that was, I would do that. Just take a bite out of it and just, yeah, it's done for everyone.
Well, and it's not even just the craving side of it too. Like, there's just the social aspect of it that really, you know, and it's hard. Like, the social aspect is, you have the craving side and you have the social aspect, because even, you know, these people that I work with, they're wonderful and they're so nice. And like, here, Allison, don't you want some? And you can't help it. Like, there's that joke that, like, it's like, oh, how do you know if somebody's vegan? And it's like, oh, they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's just because food is such a central part of our, like, just everyday lives that it inevitably just comes up, and you can't, and you're just like, oh no, I'm okay. And they're like, are you sure? Why not? Like, don't you like this? Don't you like that? And it's like, I actually don't eat like meat and dairy really at all. Usually.
Yeah. You're trying to get around not saying that you're vegan.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, and they're like, why? And then I'm like, you know, it just makes me not feel great. And then I really try not to shove it onto people. But if they're curious and they keep asking me, then I will.
Yeah.
Divulge.
It's like, stop it. You're going to make me say the word. Don't keep, stop asking me questions.
If you want to go down the rabbit hole, you just let me know.
Yeah.
I'll hold your hand and we can go down together, but.
You know what's funny? From a societal standpoint, what happens in those offices, corporate jobs, and whatever it may be, it's the same thing that happens in relationship, right? Like, I don't know, man, when Ivy and I were back in Canada, we kind of like gained a bit of weight as well. It was cold, so we just bulking up. But if I wanted something, I would be like, hey, Ivy, do you want some of this? And then she would have it, and then I wouldn't have it alone, right? And that's what happens in relationship all the time. I want to order pizza. Do you want pizza? You want pizza? Well, I kind of want pizza too, right? And you both order pizza. It's the same thing that happens in the office, right? Like, hey, we brought some donuts for everyone. You want donuts, but if other people are eating donuts, then it's okay for you to eat donuts. It's like justified now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being able to catch these games is really important.
Yes. And me and Nate relate to you and Ivy on a very, very similar level, because Nate will be like, you're trying to sabotage me. You're trying to make it my fault that we're eating these things.
It's Ivy every night. There's a vegan sushi spot around here. She's like, did you say you wanted sushi tonight? I'm like, no, yeah. I didn't say that I want sushi. They're so expensive. I'm not eating this shit every night. So we covered the mindset piece. So from a physical standpoint, what are some changes that you've noticed in your body as you kind of shifted the proportion of your nutrition, as you kind of changed the way you're working out?
So a couple things. First is my little double chin here. That's why you see me.
There's no double chin.
Big, and there's not anymore. Nate, in a very lovingly way, and he is a wonderful husband, and I do not deserve him. But we joke with each other. We poke at each other, and he was just like, "Your little gobbler's going down." And I was like,
That's
"I
one way
know,
to put
right?"
it.
I was like, "My face is slimming out." But yeah, so like honestly, that was one of the first things that I started to notice was just when I would smile, I couldn't see that second. And I've had that forever. Like I got made fun of for that in junior high. Like I got, it's been there a while. We're good friends, but I'm glad it's gone. But that's part of why I was smiling so big in those photos, because I wanted to see how big I could smile and like where that thing would go. Also, I just think people look so sad. They look so sad in their before and after photos, like especially the before photos. So I don't know if you noticed, but I'm smiling in every single photo because I didn't want to just look so
You
sad.
are. Yeah, it's to me it's funny because some people do make that effort to smile in the first one, and some people are just standing straight to like, screw this shit, I don't like that I have to take this before photo. But then when they get to the end and they're like, they look incredible, yeah, it's a big smile on their face and they're like, oh my God, I look miserable before. I'm like, yeah, but it's a true statement of how you felt back then.
Yes. And then let's see, another thing that I noticed like physically is my butt and my thighs. That is where I carry my weight. That is the first place it goes up, and if I'm lucky enough, that's the first place it leaves. I don't know if you can tell, but in my photos, which I'm cool with you sharing them, I don't care. It goes from a square to actually being like peach again.
No, you can see the difference in your leg and your butt and in your stomach for sure. At first, I'll be honest with you, when I started coaching, I was so weirded out because it was like I got a bunch of photos of, people in their bathing suit, but I'm used to it now. So it's part of it. But yeah, you definitely see a difference in your butt and your legs and your stomach, and definitely your arms for sure, and your face too.
Well, and it's good because Nate's very good about giving me positive feedback. So he just like is my ultimate hype man. And he's just like, "Oh my God, hers is a sexy skinny wife." I was like, he's like, "I've never seen your thighs look this good. Like, there's no gap." I was like, "I do drop food more because I don't have anything to catch it." Like, that's the only bummer, I
Yeah, it'd
guess.
be yeah, I think it would be a really fun dinner if Ivy and I and you and Nate would have a dinner together. I think we'd have a lot of fun.
We
Ivy and
actually,
I make very similar jokes.
yes. We have a really great new vegan restaurant. So, I mean, I know you're not doing the Ironmans anymore, but if you decide you just wanted to do the Panama City one for fun, Nate's doing it too.
Yeah,
He's
no, I yeah, well, when I go to Florida, I'm definitely Tony Robbins has a few events this year in Florida again. So I'm going to go back to some of them, but we'll organize something for sure. I'm trying to connect with more members in person this year. That's one of my goals to make it more like do more events, connect more with workouts, dinners and things like that. So yeah, for the members listening, I'm flying across the states because I started my immigration process and I'm not allowed to leave the states. So I'm just going to be flying in and out because I love to travel.
We have the best beaches. White, powdery beach sand.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, our we're getting off topic, but our beaches are terrible right now because it's like there's flood and atmospheric storms, and it's terrible. So, getting back on the topic of your transformation, like what are some of the, just if you name me like the top like three main tools that were the most helpful for you? They could be something that we said, something that's like physically in the program, an aspect of your own journey. Like what has been the most helpful for you in this journey? Just for the people to hear, but also it's good feedback for me as well.
So first and foremost, taking photos and measuring. The scale for me did not move much at all in like the first couple of months. Like it was creeping by. And like even right now while I'm rehearsing, like it's, which we can talk about that too in a minute because I got thoughts on that as well. But it just, but then you look at my pictures from every week. And it's like clearly things are changing. Clearly things are. And then you measure and you're like, holy crap, I've lost an inch around my waist or around my butt in the last like 2 weeks. What is that? So measuring in photos, arguably more important than the scale.
Because if you gain a pound of muscle and you lose a pound of fat, it's going to show zero difference on the scale.
Yes. And then that goes back to the instant gratification piece of it too. Cause it, man, it really just, you don't get that. If you're, the scale can like give you a huge dopamine hit, or it can just really bum you out. So if you, and I've still struggled with that throughout this, you know, even throughout the whole program. And then now with the reversing, it's an interesting mental shift too. But every time I go to measure, and every time I've gone to take a picture, I'm like, and the scale hasn't been moving, I'm like, okay, we're making progress. That's okay. You're doing okay, Allison. And so, yeah, those have been like equally my hype person besides just my husband. Second is you gave an analogy like back at the beginning that really just resonated with me and has stuck with me, and I'm going to continue to think about it. But it's your paper towel analogy.
Oh yeah.
That really, it really is true. I don't know if you want to explain that one.
I can do it quickly. I've wasted so many pieces of paper towel doing this, but basically if you grab a paper towel and you turn it sideways so you can see the thickness of all the layers, right? If I remove one sheet, do you notice a difference in the paper towel roll, right? Like realistically you don't. If I remove another sheet, do you see a difference? No. If I remove three sheets, but if I keep going, eventually you'll notice that the roll is getting thinner, right? And so that's kind of the view from inside your body. As you do your workouts, as you do your nutrition, that layer of fat is coming in. Fortunately don't get an inside view of your body, right? Where you could see that layer of fat kind of getting smaller. But at one point, as you remove the sheets, it gets small enough that you visually notice a difference, right? There's a point, you don't know how many sheets it's in or how many like inches of fat you lose, but there's a point where you're just like, oh shit, I see a difference in my hips. I see a difference in my legs. I see a difference in my arms.
Yes. Yes. So much. Yes. So that one stuck with me really good. Let me see. I think there was probably one more, tool.
Go for it.
I was going to say, as much as I really resisted it at first, and I think everybody's different. Everybody's different with their journey and their opinion, but like, I didn't want to track anything initially, but I think deep down inside, I knew I needed to. And so I have had MyFitnessPal for over the years, and it just is, I've got it set up to where it's just got things and it's easy for me to track on there. And honestly, that's made a big difference because now I cannot track it, or I can be somewhere where I have no idea what the food was made with, but I can probably get pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives you a flexibility.
I think honestly, that's what really helped me while I was in Europe for 4 weeks, because I made progress while I was over there for a month.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was eating half the time. I didn't have the control of making all of my own food.
Yeah, but it gives you that awareness, right? To kind of just roughly punch it in, especially when you're traveling. You're just like, oh, okay, I'm roughly at X amount of calories. I should kind of chill. Because if you just listen to your intuition, if you're sleep deprived or whatever it may be, you're going to be hungrier than what you should be consuming anyways. Yep. And that's what throws most people off track, ultimately.
Right.
How are the group calls for you? Because I've seen you on a few of them.
I really enjoy the group calls. I haven't been able to make as many of them as of lately as I did initially in the program, but I love them. I also just like to talk. So me and Barry, I feel like we're just kind of like taking turns raising our hands.
Well, it's perfect. That's what they're there for.
So it's great. It was really helpful. It's that accountability. It's that when you're in that moment of you're like, Am I gonna make the wrong choice in this moment? And then somewhere in the back of my mind, I was like, no, because I want to be able to say in the group call this week that, hey, I persevered through this tough decision, through this craving, through this day that I wanted to be lazy. But if I don't do that, then I get to go and put that as a win on my group call.
Yeah.
And everybody will be supportive of me, and that will be good.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, let's talk about reverse dieting. Let's talk about the last step of your transformation. So reverse dieting, for people not familiar with it, it's a process where we help you speed up your metabolism post-transformation so you can like keep your body and eat more food. Psychologically, it's challenging because we're increasing the amount of food you're consuming And most people have the fear that all the weight's going to come back on and they're going to look the same as they were or worse than when they started. So how has that been for you so far?
It's been different. It's been a little bit of a mental exercise that I maybe wasn't anticipating. You almost, like for me, I'm finding, because like I have to shift what gives me joy in what I want. I know you can't technically like control what gives you a dopamine hit, but like seeing the scale continue to progress downwards, which it still does a little bit in the reversal, but I think I'm getting to that point now where it's probably not going to, it's probably going to stay. And so it's a real, like, almost what I can't say mind fuck on your podcast, I'm guessing.
You can say whatever you want. We'll just keep this clip. It's perfect. I swear on the podcast too, so it's okay.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's that because I've been having to change my, from seeing that number on the scale not move or maybe go up just a little bit one week. And instead of going, gosh, dang it, crap. It's like, no. Give yourself a little dopamine hit because you got to eat more food this week and
shift the focus
and it didn't move or it didn't move significantly and it moved in an expected amount.
Yeah.
And then I also just continue to do my workouts and I continue to feel leaner. Like I feel more firm. I feel like, I've been having these past like 2 or 3 weeks, like the scale is kind of just like dwindled, gone up just a little bit. But Nate has been like going crazy and saying, oh my God, babe. He's like, your legs look amazing. Like, so like, he's like, I've never seen your legs look like this. And so then I'm getting that validation, which is really nice. So that kind of helps too, but it's just shifting, making that shift to like, okay, no, this is good. I'm eating more. I have more flexibility. Yeah. And this is good. This is a win. So does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. It does, right? It's shifting that focus to what you feel should be rewarding you. Because at the end of the day, the number on the scale, again, it's just a number on the scale. And I'll be honest with you, if you step on 5 different scales, you get 5 different numbers to a certain extent. And so it's the measurements are important. Because it's directly correlated to like your specific body, how your clothes fit, how you look when you are, say, in your bathing suit, how you feel in your body, like that feeling of tightness in your stomach and in your arms and in your legs. I love that feeling. It's my favorite thing, right? There's a feeling when you feel pudgy and you're just like, it's kind of gross. There's a feeling of tightness, like that's the best. And so like those, it's moving outward towards those metrics of success when you go into reverse dieting. Because like, I'll be honest with you, the number on the scale doesn't matter to anyone, right? Like you said 162 pounds earlier when you were at your heaviest.
Yeah.
To someone that is severely underweight, to someone that is severely overweight, right? Like it just, everyone's so attached to a number, but it means nothing. And so I always like to tell people, if I could snap my fingers, give you the exact body that you want, and you get to consume a ton of food, but you're 20 pounds heavier than the number you have in your head, would you be happy? The answer should be yes, because I literally gave you everything that you wanted to besides this stupid number on the scale.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so you're getting to the place where you're starting to become detached from the number of it and more focused on how you're feeling and how you're showing up. And that's the beautiful part.
It is. Maxine, we went on like our Valentine's Day dinner the other day. I almost couldn't find like a skirt to wear. And what's crazy is that I bought these skirts with like when Nate initially got home from his deployment, which means I was at like my thinner weight when I bought these skirts. And that weight was probably only 2 or 3 pounds more than what I am right now.
Yeah.
But they don't fit. They're huge on me. Like they almost fall off. I'm going to have to donate them.
Yeah. What a hard problem to have. You have to go shopping.
I know. I love spending money. but yeah, it's just that blew my mind the other day. I was like, I literally bought this when I was at like my previous skinny, whatever. Yeah. And now they like don't even get, they're not even close to fitting. Like I can't wear these. I need to donate them. That was a
great. There's a difference between skinny and fit, right? Yeah. And that's all, we had a lot of people tell me that. It's like, hey, I used to weigh X, but I was doing a ton of cardio and I was like severely under eating. I wasn't eating the protein, like the typically what people do in society when they want to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And then when we get near that weight, they're like, God damn, I look so different.
Yeah.
I look so different at this weight. My body feels different. It looks different. I'd love to ask you any piece of advice that you may have for people that are listening. So we have a lot of people that listen that are current members, people that are on their journey, people that are considering being on the journey, like from someone that's gone through that is now into reverse dieting. What is a valuable piece of advice that you can share with them that you wish you would have had to help you kind of on your journey from the start?
That's a good question about what I wish I would have had. Let me think about
that. Or just that you would share to yourself, that you would share to yourself if you already had the opportunity to talk to you on day one. Or I'll add a twist to it while you're thinking. If you had the opportunity to talk to Allison before she did all those yo-yo dieting, all these yo-yo and weight, all these attempts, what is a piece of advice that you would share to this person to get her to do it right the first time, which is what I believe we're doing with you now?
That's a good way to structure that question. I would probably tell her it doesn't have to be so complicated. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to be so mean to yourself. there is a beauty in the simplicity. I would tell her to find whole food, plant-based diet way sooner.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, you know, me and Nate always say like his cancer was like the worst thing that happened to us and then the best thing that happened to us because it captured that change. And then I think just honestly, I think people say this all the time, just be nicer to myself, be more patient. And then honestly, like I really like this. I think it's like a James Clear wrote it in his book, Atomic Habits. And something that else has like carried me through is just 1%. Be 1% better than you were the last, like when you last did something. And that's with my workouts. I try to do that, especially. I'm like, even if I'm not feeling it today, I'm like, okay, even if I don't do better on this workout than I did last time, On this rep, I'm going to do one rep more. I'm going to be 1% better.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice because the Fit Vegan app actually tells you how much percentage better you are than your last workout. So that helps in that sense too. But yeah, just trying to be that. You don't have to make like huge, like exorbitant strides. You can take small 1% improvements every day in different areas. And that's really going to just compound and give yourself time and it'll happen. Like you're going to get there.
Well, that's beautiful. So be kinder to yourself. Don't over complexify the process. Mm-hmm. Just focus on getting 1% better and ultimately just stay consistent with the whole process. Right. And you know, I agree with you. These experiences are what made you and Nate who you are and where you are today. And then same for me, you know, like I had to lose Jen and go through that process because ultimately we wouldn't be here talking if it wasn't for that. All the Fit Vegan success stories, all that, none of that would exist if I didn't go through that. And so as much as sometimes we want to beat ourselves up for like, man, I tried losing the weight for 10 years, 20 years, whatever it may be, then it was made to happen this way because eventually it'll bring you to the place where you were before you got started of like, I just want to do this right. I just want to solve this once and for all. And so I'm proud of you for getting to that place at a young age, right? Because a lot of our members are like 50, 60, 70, and 80 years old. So a lot of people think we only work with people in their 20s and their 30s. The majority of our members are between like 45 and 80 years old.
Right. Well, and to be honest with you, I mean, I had a couple of reasons for wanting to do Fit Vegan. So I mean, first and foremost, 100% vanity. I am a vain person. I'm a nice person. I'm a kind person, but I am a vain person. I want to look good. And then second of all,
well, it's like, not vanity. I think it's just standard. I would change the language. I'd say it's more like you have a different standard for yourself. Yeah.
I have it. Okay, that's good. I like that, Maxime. That makes me feel like a little less of an asshole. And then like secondly, like, you know, me and Nate want to start a family soon. So I just feel like there's so many women out there who are just like, well, I'm going to have kids. I'm going to get pregnant. My body's going to change. So like, why would I do it now? Like, I'm just going to wait. My body's going to be wrecked, blah, 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 whatever. And I might as well just wait until I have all my kids. Well, I am very much like, I try to live a very proactive life when I can. And so, you know, I see that coming down the pipeline and I'm like, why would I not want to create an environment for my future kids where they, you know, they're growing and they just in the healthiest possible environment that I can create in the manner that I can control, because that affects like generations down the line. Like my grandchildren will have things to in their DNA from based on what I did during my pregnancies.
Yeah. And the habits that you will pass off to your kids that will pass off to their kids, right? Like,
yes.
Like a lot of our eating patterns when we were younger were affected by our parents because they very mm-hmm. much were in control of our environments and our food choices. So, hey, there's nothing vain about that, because I'll be honest, again, we've coached a ton of people throughout the years. I've had a lot of women come and be like, I just want to be the hot mom, right? Yeah. So you're not the only one. It is a thing that people want, but ultimately... Yeah, exactly. So, and ultimately, like, again, by you being able to build these healthy habits, your kids definitely see that, right? Because yeah. I was coaching, she's a dear friend of mine now, Bobo, who lived in Whistler. I would go and train her in person from time to time. We were just really good friends. And her daughter would always come in and mm-hmm. she would do the animal flows with us. And she would try to do the curls and she would try to do the pull-ups. I was like, that's so cool. And she's like, she only started doing that when I started doing it. Uh-huh. Right? And so like there's so much impact of you leading by example. So it's beautiful that you're taking that on now.
Yes. And that actually just leads me to reason number three, which is actually, I think the most important goes back to the partner thing, right? Like you understand this too, like as a caregiver, like you almost feel like, don't get me wrong, like I can imagine being the person that is ill. But as the caregiver, you have even less control of that situation because it's not you that it's happening to. And you can't shove food down people's throats. You can't make them do certain things. And so I almost feel like pressure, but it's good and I want to. But what I do is going to affect Nate's habits.
Because for sure, directly.
So I have pressure to lead by example. Because I want Nate to be around until I'm like 95, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it always just lives in the back of my mind, and I'm sure in his too. But like what's, you know, usually the risk for developing some kind of chronic disease is that you've had it before.
Yeah.
And so that just stays back here, and it stays a part of my motivation to be like, I want to eat this way. I need to be the best that I can. And I need to just absorb as much knowledge and information as I can so that I can make him have the tools and have the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the accountability, like kind of like an accountability partner just to make it as easy for him as possible to be as healthy as possible. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something that's very unique to caregivers if they've had their partner go through it. Like I had my grandfather go through it and it wasn't the same, but there's a sense of powerlessness mm-hmm. that comes from it. You're just like, man, I wish I could just yank out that cancer and just get rid of it. But ultimately you can only lead by example. And as much as sometimes it sucks, you do have to be the strong one. You sometimes have to be the bigger person and be like, man, I really want to eat all this shit food and I really want to not exercise and I really want to sleep in. But I can't because I have to lead by example. And, you know, to me, I had a slightly different outcome, you know, and now with being married to Ivy, like, man, I don't want to go through this again.
Yeah.
And so to me, I make sure that like my home is top notch so that either one of us don't have to deal with any of that, right? And I'll be honest, it comes from a place of trauma, 100%.
Yeah.
Know that. But at the end of the day, like when you've been through something like that, like, yeah, man, you gotta lead by example, because it's in the back of your head whether you want to or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's always there. It's just the what if that just, it just lives, and you're like, I have to do everything in my power to be better so that it's as easy as possible for them to stay healthy. Because I do love my, and I actually don't just love him. I like him a lot, and he's my best friend. And I just want him to hang around until we're like 95 years old and he can just keep making me laugh.
Yeah, beautiful. And he can go after 95. I joke with Ivy all the time. It's like, I'm going to live until this, and then after that, it's okay. I'll be too old. I'll remember. So Asen, you know, one question I want to ask you is like, has this whole process been worth it for you, right? In terms of not necessarily the program, but in terms of like taking us on the way that you currently have with the structure that we provided for you?
It has. And I'm not going to lie to you, Maxime. When I first started, I was just crunching the numbers and I was like, okay, like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'll easily be able to get to this in like 6 months, like 4 months, 6 months, like I can crush it out. Like it's going to be good. And that's just not how life works. Right. Like what did I do? I had 4 weddings. I moved across the country. Like that's just not, but you're never going to find a perfect time. Worth it. 100%. It's a small investment to make compared to the lifetime of healthcare potential expenses that could come down the road. For example, luckily Nate is in the Air Force, active duty, everything was paid for, but his care, and you know how expensive it is, but his care was over $500,000. And that was just for like 3 months of treatment, because luckily we caught it in like a middle-ish, early-ish stage.
Yeah.
That much.
This is crazy.
And, but I mean, like you just, the cost of healthcare in America, like it's just, it's so expensive. I go and I do these home health risk assessments on people, and I've probably done 400 to 500 of them, right? So after you've seen that many people over the age of 65, you start to notice some trends. Number one trend that I've noticed, just this is off topic, but like, do not ever smoke. You will look like you are 80 years old when you are 65. But on the contrary, if you don't smoke and you take relatively good care of yourself, you can still be driving at 93 years old. You can still be living by yourself very, very independently and healthily at 93 years old, and have a great quality of life and not really have to go to the doctor, not really have to take medicine, right? Like, obviously that's, you know, that's more anecdotal, but we have the blue zone, so I'll leave it up there.
Yeah, well, it's all in our power. Like I was telling you, I just recorded with Darren Oline before this. People listening are going to be like, oh my God, these podcasts are coming out at different times, right? So I record a bunch of them in one day and then I batch them. But yeah, he was like, yeah, it's in your power, right? The things you put in your body, the things you put in your house, what's in your environment, you have full control over it. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And Allison, I want to say massive thank you for jumping on the podcast. It was a pleasure chatting with you for longer than we do on the group calls. I'm happy we got to connect. And yeah, once Ivy and I are in Florida, we'll definitely let you know for and organize a dinner and a workout.
Yes, please do. Nate would love that.
Beautiful. All right. And so I want to say for everyone listening, thank you very much for tuning into the episode. I have a bunch of free gifts for you in the description down below, whether you're on YouTube or podcast. So be sure to go grab those or just tools to help you on your transformational journey. Again, absolutely for free. I just want to help you get better. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.